hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
The door is locked, there's no way out.
And now back with us and making his ninth appearance here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Bengals, Vikings, and Panthers defensive back and TNT guest Hall of Famer, Leonard Wheeler. Let me remind you about Leonard's background. He is from Toccoa, Georgia, which is about 90 miles northeast of me here in Atlanta. Played his college ball at Troy University, was a third-round draft pick by the Cincinnati Bengals in 1992, and he played in the league from 92 to 99. And after retiring, he served as the president of the Charlotte Retired Players Chapter of the NFL Players Association. He is also on the former Players Board of Directors for the NFLPA. He is a national speaker for NFL Play 60. And Leonard was literally guest number 14 on this show way back in December of 2011. We always have so much fun when he is a part of the show. He has become a wonderful friend, and we are very honored. He is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Leonard, Chris, and Bob, Happy New Year, my friend.
Hi, Leonard. How are you?
Happy New Year, guys. How are you doing?
We're fantastic. Thank you, Leonard.
Awesome, man.
Leonard,
thank
I got to
so
get
much.
Your thoughts.
Okay, I'm ready.
Go ahead. No,
I'm ready.
I got to get your thoughts on what you saw this past weekend. You know, we got two teams in the Super Bowl. We could have very easily had the other two in the Super Bowl. Your thoughts on what you saw from the conference championship games?
Well, you know, football is just not fair at times. And I'm sure that the New Orleans Saints fans are upset with the call. You can go back and you could point at so many different plays that maybe should have been called or something should have went this way or went that way. I think at the end of the day, you know, you can't wipe away one or two plays. You have to take the entire game for what it is. And I think at the end of the day, you can never count out Belichick and Tom Brady. The Kansas City defense, you know, unfortunately, they just did not get it done like the offense was doing. But if the offense would have stepped up a little earlier in the game, maybe you would have had a different outcome. And so I just think that at the end of the day, both teams won fairly. I really believe that.
So, Leonard, we saw an egregious pass interference call not made.
Right.
But, you know, you played defensive back in the league for a long time. Talk about, you know, the difficulties in playing defensive back. You know, one of the things that Bob and I have talked about over the course of probably the last couple of years, Bob, is
right.
Perhaps playing defensive back in the league right now might be the hardest thing to do in all of sports, because every rule is going towards the offense, right? We saw a roughing the quarterback call when someone just touched Tom Brady, right? So
right.
Everything is stacked towards the offense. What do you think about, you know, is defensive back the hardest thing to do in all of sports right now?
I think defensive back was the hardest thing to do from the beginning. But, you know, maybe I'm a little biased because people say it's quarterback, which I can totally understand the argument there. But I think physically, running backwards, I remember when I was in the league and they came out with the 5-yard rule. And even the 5-yard rule, when they came out with that rule, it was very difficult for us because when you're used to touching someone 10 yards and 12 yards and 15 yards, now you have to detach at 5 yards, it makes it really tough physically, mentally, emotionally. I mean, it really makes it tough. It actually really makes it tough. And so given now that it's even a more offensive game, I mean, let me tell you, brother, you have to have some real skills to be able to cover a receiver today, given how fast they are, how big they are, the schemes that they put together. It's tough, man. It's really tough to be a defensive back in the NFL right now. So I'll be with those guys at the combine, my defensive backs. I look at them like Marines, though. You know, at the end of the day, I think we're the strongest, the toughest, and the meanest on the field.
So, Leonard, if you were coaching, you know, one of your students to play defensive back. Now all of a sudden you're playing against the Patriots. And you're looking against, yeah. you know, Rob Gronkowski, right? We saw Eric Berry, who's a great safety, been a great safety for a number of years, try to match up one-on-one with Gronk and just couldn't do it. Right? And then you're looking at Julian Edelman, another guy who doesn't have blazing speed, oh, by the way, but always seems to get open, whether he's running a drag route or a little out route. You know, those two guys are where Brady's going to go with the ball, and he seems to be able to, it doesn't matter what you try to do. How do you try to cover both of those guys?
First of all, you have to respect these guys' gift, their talent, right? When you look at Edelman, you think about like a Steve Largent back for Seattle. When you look at Gronkowski, you think about a Tony Gonzalez, even though he's a little taller, but they created the same difficulty when it came to the matchup. What you have to do with these guys is you have to respect the talent. So you have to put a safety on top. First of all, I love Eric Berry. Great player. But Eric Berry, they're spreading you out wide so that they can throw it to Gronkowski. Coach, put a safety over top. Or either put a corner on him, like a dime or nickel corner, and put Eric Berry over top. You have to double those guys right now.
Bob, questions for Leonard?
It's great to speak with you as always, Leonard. I want to ask you about your indoctrination into the NFL. And your first coach, as we talked about before, Leonard, was David Shula. And, you know, maybe to me, Leonard, when you have the last name of Shula, it could be a curse. And David did not really have much success in Cincinnati. Of course, trying to live up to dad's name, it's just so hard. Maybe he was one of those coordinators that should never have become a head coach, but just wanted to get your memories of him and what it was like to play for him as a coach.
Well, first of all, Bob, we started off 2-0, okay, buddy? So we were undefeated.
Right.
No, but you know what? Dave Shula really came in at a time with the Bengals where we had a lot of veteran guys. It's really tough to coach a lot of veteran guys when you're in your young. We remember when we were 30 years old and the respect level back then was different. Even though it was 1992, the respect level was different. I mean, it just was. I mean, you had Boomer Esiason, you had Tim Crumry, you had Anthony Munoz, you know, you had Icky Woods. I mean, he came in at a time to where it was tough. It was really tough for him. And even though he drafted us as younger guys, it's almost like having the baby boomers and the millennials. You know what I'm saying? So you have two different types of people that you have to coach and manage and try to figure out the emotions on both sides. So my experience with Dave, I am so, so grateful because he drafted me. And so I'm really happy that he had an opportunity to come into the NFL because I ended up on the Bengals.
And Leonard, as I talked to EJ Jr. about him playing in St. Louis, a so-called baseball town, Cincinnati has been synonymous with baseball, especially back in the 80s and 90s, et cetera. Talk about Riverfront Stadium and the experience of just living and playing in Cincinnati.
Oh, man, you guys are trying to get me in trouble.
remember, Leonard, you're the guy who introduced us to the Nasty Natty.
Oh my God!
You're the one who gave us that
really?
One.
I'm like, really? Did you just ask me that question? All right. So back, you know, Riverfront Stadium was Finney Field. Riverfront Stadium, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals organization, the city has upgraded a lot since 1992 when I was drafted. I went back there last year, a couple years ago, and it's totally just upgraded itself. I mean, the guys, the ownership, Mr. Brown and Katie and all of them, they realize now in order to compete with the teams that are out there now that are upgrading to new stadiums, et cetera, they are starting to realize that it's important for them to upgrade what's around them because these young players are looking at that. Like, I mean, they are saying, I'm going to come to your team, but what about my family? You know, what about the city? How does the city look? How are the school systems? And when I was there, Riverfront Stadium, even though they had went to the Super Bowls against the 49ers, et cetera, there were a lot of things that they hadn't upgraded yet. And so I think now what they're realizing over the past 10 years is that we have to upgrade in order for us to compete.
Leonard, when you joined us last summer, you were really high on what you were expecting from the Carolina Panthers for this past season. And rightfully so, they were coming off an 11-5 season in 2017, tied for first in the AFC South with the Saints. But a 7-9 season, one that included, you know, losing seven games in a row before winning the last game against the Saints, which was sort of meaningless. It meant nothing to the Saints at that point. But you thought, what's gone wrong with the Panthers? What do they need to do differently going into next year?
I think they just have to regroup, to be honest with you. I think, you know, Cam looked like, you know, really, I think he was playing injured. There were a lot of dismantling on the offensive line with injuries. I think they're going to have to go out and hit the free agency market and really create some great draft picks. You know, I was high on them for a reason. I mean, them winning so many games in a row was evident that they were really going in the right direction. And even though I might be a little biased because I'm a former Panther, I think that I was, you know, I had the right bias because they were winning, but then something just happened. I just saw a lot of incongruency in the area of just communicating on the field. I mean, between the quarterback and the receivers, and I don't know, man, it was tough. Like, it was really tough to finish watching the season the way it all unfolded.
So, Leonard, with the Super Bowl coming, and you don't have a horse in the race, but who are you pulling for and why?
Well, so I had picked the, man, this is a tough one because I don't ever want to go against the GOAT, man. And because that Tom Brady, he knows how to freaking win a game. Belichick knows how to coach a game. Coaches coach, players play the game. And, I don't know. I think Goff is a really good quarterback. He's had a lot of inconsistencies, over the past week. He started off slow, but ended up really, 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 really well. If the running back, if Gurley is not injured, which we don't really know if he's injured or not, he didn't really play in the game. He had 10 yards rushing on four carries. I don't know, man. Kind of hard for me to go against New England. I might have to text you guys or social media you just.
Yeah, it's early.
It's early. It's early yet, and you don't really know what's out there. So, you know, I'm going to be emailing you and putting you on social media blast because you guys, because both of you turkeys have put me on blast today. It's on now. You do know that.
That's fair.
So wait a minute now. You and I had a conversation about a week ago, and you were all about predicting something was going to happen. And you were going to be all over me for it when you got on the show.
Okay. Okay, what was it?
So
what was it?
You were telling me that the Chiefs were going to win. You told me the Chiefs were going to win the game.
Okay, I had the Chiefs and the Rams.
Yes, you did.
I did. I had the Chiefs and the Rams because I really believed that it was time for Mahomes to win, and I love Andy Reid, what he stands for. He's a player's coach. He's just one of those staples in the game that continues to be that mentor to so many different people, so many young coaches, just migrate from his tutelage. And he just does a great job. And so, I did have them. Thank you for putting me on blast yet again. That's number 5, by the way. But anyway, continue down the path, please.
I'm just saying, you were telling me how you were gonna roast me all over social media because you were gonna pick the Chiefs.
I never used the word roast. I said I'm gonna make sure that I tell the world. I never used the word roast.
All right. So whatever. You are going to put me on blast on social media how you picked the Chiefs. And here we are.
Fair game.
All right. So there you go.
Fair game.
So,
all right, so I have a question
gotta,
for you.
You got to come clean.
I have a question for you two now, Chris and Bob.
Okay.
Are you ready?
All right. Yes, sir.
Who do you have winning the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm sitting here in a Rams jersey for calling out our good friend Jim Everett. I got my Jim Everett jersey on, so I'm clearly in the Rams camp. Now, and Leonard, you know this. I'm a big Steeler fan. There's no way in the world I can be rooting for the Patriots on just because of our rivalry with them over the last several years, plus the fact that we have 6 Super Bowl titles and they have 5. So there's no way I want them to win that game. With Everett, and we just had Eddie Metter on earlier in the show, the Rams all-time leader in interceptions and a great guy. So I'm Rams all the way. No way I can root for the Patriots.
Okay, so you have the Rams. What about you, Bob?
Right now, Leonard, I'm leaning toward New England just because of a lot of things you said. We will make our official pick next Thursday. And, I'm being forced to pick the Rams if I want to tie Tony Collins in our yearly pool here. But I have to go with my heart. Right now, I'm leaning toward New England. Somebody's going to have to convince me over the next 7 days to pick the Rams. So that's the way I'm leaning.
You can't say, Bob, that you're picking them because of what Leonard said. Because Leonard now is going to take and run with that.
Well,
yeah, but first I heard Leonard, I'm leaning. I have one toe in the water and one toe on the outside of the water. So I'm not really getting wet. I'm only getting one toe wet. Come on, Bob.
Wetter by the minute, though. I'm really getting wet on the, let's go with New England right now. And again, barring an injury or some kind of scandal, Leonard, we have to go that way.
This is deep. I cannot wait. I'm going to jump on social media live from the stadium. I'm going to jump here live. From the stadium, and I'm going to post about you two live from Atlanta.
there you go. So you'll be in town? You'll be in town for the game, Leonard?
Yes, I will be at the game, yes.
We gotta try to hook up. I got to try to see the great Leonard Wheeler live and in person when you come to town.
Brother, we have to. That is going to be a must. I would love to invite you guys to be my guest at some point, too. So make sure that we stay connected because I want to connect. Now, I will be in town Wednesday through Monday. So we have some days.
All right. I look forward to it, my friend. Don't skip out on me.
Promise I won't. I appreciate you, brother.
There you go. Leonard, thank you so much for your time. It's always such a good time when you're a part of the show. We look forward to the next time already. So thank you for your time tonight and being here, and I look forward to the opportunity to catch up with you hopefully sometime next week.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for all
you
do for us as former legends as well. We really appreciate you. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate you very much, Leonard. Take care. All the best to you and your family.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
That is the great Leonard Wheeler joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate, and you can see why he's a member of our TNT Guest Hall of Fame, Bob. So much fun every time Leonard jumps on.
Yeah, even if he's been gone for a few months, it always feels like we just have another friend in the booth with us because he's top shelf as far as people, Chris.
Yes, he is. All right, when Bob and I come back, we'll be turning on our Thursday Night Tailgate spotlight on the positive. We'll give you 2 more great stories about guys out there doing great things in their communities, and we're going to do that right on the other side of these words from our friends at the Salt Creek Golf Retreat and DP Quality Foods.